We're on Learn Videography, baby. It doesn't get better than this.
Three, two, one.
Welcome to Learn Videography, a podcast dedicated to mastering the art and business of becoming a full-time videographer. Presented by Industry Jump. Hosted by director Kyle Loftus and producer JJ Englert. Let's go.
Welcome back to Learn Videography, your podcast to learn everything you need to know about becoming a full-time videographer. As always, I'm your host, JJ Englert, with my co-host, Kyle Loftus. And today we are joined by one of our listeners, Tyler Sloan, a Texas native. Tyler started his career as a tattoo artist 12 years ago before picking up a camera and planting his feet firmly in the film industry. Today, he runs a production company called The Hustle Collective based in Dallas, Texas. Tyler, Kyle, how are we doing, folks?
Dude, excellent. Excellent. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Tyler.
Tyler, you hit us up in via email. You're a recent Jump Studio user, and you're like, hey, can I jump on the pod? And we're like, why not?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's chop it up. Let's hear a little bit more about you, your creative, the business that you're running. If you found a niche, you're trying to find a niche. Let's just hear a little bit more about you, Tyler. Give us a quick 3 to 5 minute story on you and how you got to where you are today talking to us.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Let's see. I got into filmmaking by accident. I actually got like a MacBook Pro to like do music and stuff with, you know, and then I found a GarageBand on there. I mean, iMovie on there, you know what I mean? And I was like, holy crap, what is this? So I stole my mom's camera, started shooting like skate videos for my homies. And then it just kind of developed. And like, I never actually recorded music on that computer. It was like my second Mac that I started doing music on it. But yeah, from there, like I just kind of, it kind of just started spinning out of control. And I did a video of my son like playing and put some music to it and did some slow motion, you know, and then my mom showed that off to a couple of her friends at work. And then next thing you know, I'm getting calls to do like birthday parties for kids and stuff like that, you know? So that's kind of when I first realized like, holy crap, I can like make money from, you know, doing this or whatever. And I was a tattoo artist, like you mentioned before, but I was looking for a way to get out. And that was one of the things that I hated about being a tattoo artist was I was always stuck in the same room every day, listening to everyone else's awesome stories about traveling and doing cool things. And I was like, I just want to stay attached to art. I want to stay attached to something creative. How can I do that? You know, and it just turned out that film was that same thing. So at the time I had a kid and then another boy on the way, and I wanted to go to Full Sail. I just couldn't afford to do that, you know, at the time. Thank you. I found this program called the Film Connection of LA. You know, it was like this online like type program, you know what I mean? And I just wanted anything. It's like, I'm in Sherman, Texas. And so like, I'm just spinning my wheels, just trying to shoot music videos with my friends. I don't know anything. It's kind of almost like, I guess like YouTube was a thing at the point, but there's not like tutorials like there are today. You know, there's not, there wasn't a YouTube university at that point. And so I'm just like scraping at the walls, trying to find some way to like get connected and figure out how to like leave this one world and to join this other world of art, you know? And so I found this program, like I said, called the Film Connection of LA. And then they sent me to like this Telemundo like TV channel. And I walked in there, and it's supposed to like put you in real life situations where you're like working with the person. So you're like, you're not just like in a classroom environment. You're like more in a real life environment. Cool. So you know, that's the code is like, hands that's on, school, get out there and work. Yeah. So I went and I was really disappointed because I was expecting like Toyota commercials or like cool like explosions or something, you know what I mean? And I went in there and they were like holding the camera and they're like doing this, you know? And I was like, I'm not really interested in learning media. I'm interested in like film and storytelling and just, you know, telling people's stories or whatever. And so I kind of left and I was just like, F this, you know what I mean? Called my mom and I was like, it's not going to work. I guess I'm just going to figure out this the long way, you know? And so I went to a bar to kind of like drink it off, to be honest. And I was sitting there telling the bartender what was going on. And the guy sitting next to me, his name was Jason Vansick, was a 5-time Emmy Award winning producer, screenwriter. He slid me his card and I swear, and he slid me his card in conversation, was like, hey, I've heard what you're talking about. He's like, I'm a filmmaker, you know, what are you trying to get into? And I told him, you know, and I showed him some of my work and he was like, it's not bad, you know, or whatever. And so I left and I called the film school people back after telling them like, I'm not interested. And I was like, hey, I found a guy, you know, I think he'd be awesome if he qualifies. And then a couple of weeks later he called me and was like, I'm your teacher. And then, so I just kind of started mentoring underneath him. He was the senior producer for the American Heart Association. And then he did a couple short films and like helped me shoot a couple bigger like production music videos and stuff like that or whatever, you know? And then, from there, you know, I just kind of kept pushing the craft. I was still tattooing at that time and just kind of doing both, you know, and then my mom passed away unexpectedly. And so, I was at a really uncomfortable place in my life, you know? And I was like, you know what? I inherited a little bit of money from her, not very much. But, I took that money and quit my job and just took my camera, like my 5D Mark III and a couple lenses that I had, L-glass lenses, and just went to work, basically, you know what I mean? And my brother actually invented like the company name, the Hustle Hustle Collective, and sent it to me because after mom passed, I was like in a pretty deep spate, you know what I mean? Like depressed, you know? And he sent me this company. He was like, hey, check this out. It was just a website. And I was like, what are you going to do with this? And he's like, it's yours, you know, start something. So I started an LLC and then just went in it head first. Yeah. Until I ran out of money and then just had no choice.
I feel that. I appreciate the honesty and transparency. And listen, like, I'm sure a lot of people can relate, right? Like, this shit's hard. Freelancing is hard. It's hard to get people to give you money, right? It's really hard to get people to give you money. And as we're finding like our feet as filmmakers, we're trying to get out there and shoot, but we also need to make money for it. And it's a really hard balance. When do you think like, or, you know, I guess, are you at a point now where you're more comfortable with things, or is it still just like, you know, scrapping to find any client you can? Where are you at?
It's like 50-50. Sure. We are finding some, we're finding really good success right now. You know, when COVID happened, we kind of took a step back. We knew that brands weren't really affording just video. And we were like, how can we make ourselves more approachable to brands? And so we started doing like the a la carte thing where we're also going to manage your social media. We're also going to run your campaigns. And we started doing that kind of route, you know? With that, we've kind of just taken anything we can. And, but we learned a lot through that process. And now we're kind of trying to niche down to like documentary storytelling, you know, real life kind of feels or whatever. And so we're kind of going for like those types of brands. We reached out to a car dealership, and a car dealership sounds really boring, but I hit them with like, hey, you know, like car dealerships have commercials from the brand. We understand that you have to use, you know, but like that whole model of car dealerships is kind of old. And we hit them with like, why can't you guys have a brand story just like the brand's cars do? You know what I mean? And so we sold them a campaign on that. And it's kind of rambling on now, but like, we're finding our niche now, but it's still, you know, if we have a good client, if it fits us, we'll still take it on. We may not like showcase it, you know what I mean? But we're still.
Well, focusing that down like a little bit further, Tyler, like what are your biggest struggles, would you say, like right now? What are some of the biggest things you're struggling with? And maybe that's even specifically pertaining to acquiring clients. Like what are those biggest struggles?
Man, it's a tough question. I think our biggest struggles right now are finding people to delegate work to that we can trust with our work, finding editors so we can start taking on more people, you know what I mean, whatever. The clients we've been pretty successful with like, you know, getting what we're going after at the moment. We take our time, we build up really nice treatments. We really like focus on the brand and find out like what we think that they could use and what they're missing, you know, and how we can fix those problems for them. But as far as like, I think it's just kind of, we're kind of stuck in this phase where we're just trying to figure out ourselves too. And then also like, what is it slowing us down? You know what I mean? Or whatever. So, and then building systems, you know, I'm trying to get to that point where like, I listen to you guys talk all the time. Like I want to be able to like, have this company be ran by somebody if anything was to happen to me or anything like that. I've got children, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to build the business if I was going to be able to sell it, you know what I mean? So, and it's not even close to 100%. That yet. And it's so hard to get those types of things in order when you're trying to like keep up with the client and make that next deal and keep everybody paid, you know, and, you know, we're growing now. So it's like, not just like me trying to pay my own bills. I'm trying to make sure that everybody else is getting enough work and enough money to, you know, really put their efforts and energies all into the collective. So.
Yeah. You know, like there's a lot to unpack there. And if you don't mind, maybe we could just vibe out on your niche for a second and just kind of dive into that and feel like what is it that you love doing? Like when you're creating content, what is it that you find the happiest?
I just like telling the stories, you know. I grew up on MTV, so I feel like I wanted to be, you know, Colin Tilly, you know what I mean, or something like that. But as the more I do that, I'm like, I just love that rock star like attitude of like a director, you know, like the Director X type, you know, folks or whatever. But I just really have a good eye or whatever of telling just like passionate stories. You know, we just went out and did a project for the American Academy of Pediatric Dentists, and we shot a video on the Pediatric Dentist of the Year. And that sounds really freaking boring, but we like shot like this 30 for 30 like style like piece on it. And then you watch it, it like, it makes you like, no wonder he's pediatric dentist of the year. And, you know, and it was very nice and it was very cool. And like, we're just, you know, I just think we have like a good niche for doing that. And I think brands are also leaning more towards that way because people are also realizing that like what marketing is, you know what I mean? And they want that more human connection versus that like slapped on shiny, you know, put in a box and a bow. They want to kind of have that like, what is so personal about this brand that makes me connect to them or whatever, you know what I mean? So I think that we're just going to try to push in that direction more, you know what I mean? So like the Carhartt commercials or like those, you know, the deep voice in the background kind of guy, you know, car driving slow type shit.
So. Yeah, but you can storytell with anything, right? Like I think you have an ability to storytell, but now we need to figure out like where, what industry you're going to be storytelling in, right? Like, it's hard to, you know, really kind of build up a scalable system without a really defined customer, because otherwise you're just throwing a net into an ocean rather than fishing at the best spot with the best bait to, you know, repeatedly get that, you know, and trying to figure out what maybe that is for you. And normally when I think about my niche, I'm thinking about what kind of connections I have. Well, how can I leverage current connections to get things going? Also, what things do I love to do? Like what makes me happy? Like where do I want to be? And then also the industry. What type of industry do we want to be in? Right. And so when you hear some of those things, what comes to mind? Like what are the things? What are the industries that you like? Any connections that you have that you maybe to leverage? What do you think, Kyle? Guess what?
What's up,
dude? We got a new season-long sponsor, and you won't believe who it is.
I think I might have an idea.
Riverside FM, the same platform that we're using to record this podcast right now. We got them on as a season-long sponsor. We were using the platform before they're a sponsor, and we're stoked to have them on this show as our sponsor. They're the leading podcast, video, and audio platform. Top podcast hosts like Gary Vee, Guy Raj, and so many others use Riverside as well. You can edit your videos within Riverside. You can do small little snackable clips. You can auto create transcriptions with Riverside and so much more. So if you're looking to get into podcasting in the new year, go over to riverside.fm, check them out, and you won't regret it. See ya. Now let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, like cars, outdoor stuff like camping, you know, those types of things is what I'm enjoying. So we just got that car dealership ad that we got. We did like a Jeep spec. A Dodge Ram spec or a Ram spec. They're not even called Dodge Ram anymore. And then, and like kind of like a all in one inclusive, like of the community and different people using different types of cars, you know? And, I just really enjoy working with the cars, you know what I mean? And, shooting those ads. And we did such a great job on the, on the Dodge one or the Ram one of the truck. It was like a rancher one, you know what I mean? It's like, we work most of our time on the ranch, you know, it's super rad. But she hit me back and was like, hey, this looks a little too like a Ram commercial, not like us, you know. And so we had to like put the license plate in there a little bit more that showed like their logo and stuff like that. But basically, like we did such a great job on that it looked like a national ad, what they were saying. And they were used to looking more like a cable ad, you know what I mean, whatever. But that was our goal. And so like, I'm really digging working with these cars because I want to be able to tell those cool, passionate like road trip journey stories with like brands like Jeep and stuff like that, you know. And and so I'm like, it's like I'm getting to practice with these types of cars and these types of brands, and I'm also getting paid for this and learning so much so that like hopefully one day I can attract, you know, the agency or whatnot that owns, you know, the connections to those types of brands.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to look into it, you know, like segmenting towards outdoor lifestyle, camping, cars, that kind of area. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, that's a much more defined niche, I would say, than just, you know, storytelling in general. And I think with something like that, again, when you mentioned like the spec ads, building those out, starting to get a targeted portfolio, I think that's really going to help you generate more specific people within that audience. Again, you know, I think you've obviously been a listener, you've heard us mention on the podcast. It's not to say you can't do other styles of work. It's just at some point, if we really want to create a business that's scalable, we have to be specialized. We have to have something that people know us and our business for, aside from, we do video, photo, graphic design, marketing, like, you know, the whole works, the whole gamut. They're not going to come to you for that, really.
No, 100%. And we kind of got our Instagram like on a hold now with like a, you know, it's like one big long thing. It's like three squares that says hustle. And so we're kind of building up these narrative, like documentary, like brand pieces that we're working on and trying to get these all together and start like a kind of a whole new launch. Cause you know, the whole team's kind of been like on a high from the work that we've been doing. And it's fun getting out there. You know, you're working with, you know, the greatest LT ever, like the LD ever, like it's the sun, you know, it's like a golden hour. You don't have like a whole lot of lights cause you're out in the woods. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of like this run and gun, like, you know, style, but you know, it's neat. We're having fun with it, you know, and it just kind of seems like one of those things that we're just naturally good at. And so we're kind of holding ourselves accountable as a team and trying to lean into the things that, you know, when we get done with, we're like, that was great. Let's do more of that, you know? So the whole idea is like, you know, not to get burnt out on just chasing the money.
No
and
doubt.
Just staying creative. So
yeah. I think, you know, another benefit of finding some kind of not niche, but general area of what you're tackling it. It allows you to put systems in place for client acquisition. So, you know, finding those folks, having scripts of like how you're going to sell them, having decks that you could reuse in that area, that genre, right? Like you can start to standardize all of that. But then also like certain equipment is kind of needed for car commercials and or outdoor brands. Like, you know, drones would be a really nice thing. Some kind of glide cam of like, maybe you attach it to the back of a truck to get those motion, you know, and like,
100%.
So once you have like a industry or, you know, a target that you have, you can start to embed that in every kind of company operation from lead gen to your gear that you're acquiring, to the editors that you're finding, to the portfolio that, and it's just, you start to live and breathe it, you know, but it needs to be really focused in the sense of like, you know where you're going, because otherwise you get in a car and it's just like, I'm going to drive to every restaurant until I find a good one. It's like, no, I'm going to drive to this restaurant because I know exactly what I want. Right.
Exactly.
And that's what you need to be, because that's the shortest path.
Yeah. And so the other day, like someone was telling me like, oh, you want to shoot for car dealerships, don't you? And I was like, absolutely not. I want to shoot for a car dealership so I can really work on narrowing that brand and focusing on that versus going out and competing with myself in a sense by shooting for a bunch of dealerships. I'd rather have a couple of legacy clients that I can really just dive into and really just work on constantly and help them develop and grow. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of that comes also with like interviewing those folks or figuring out like what needs you need to solve for them, right? Like that is a very unique customer that has their own set of needs. And I assume what it is they probably need a lot of content for not a lot of money. And that content is also going to be broadcast quality because it's going to get on cable, or depending on what it is. I think if you can get into a position where you can leverage one of your contacts and say, hey, I really appreciate you working with us on this last video. Do you mind just taking a half hour? I take you out to lunch or on a call and I just ask you some questions about like what you're struggling with and what we can do better to help you and people and dealerships like you going forward, and just listen to like what they're struggling with and build a service and system around that, you know?
No, 100%. You know, a lot of creatives think that, you know, it's our job just to be creative and make cool videos, but really down the root of it is we're problem solvers and we have to stay interactive with our clients on a regular basis. And that kind of gets like exhausting sometimes, you know, staying in constant contact with people that, you know, we work with. But, you know, a lot of my clients now are friends, you know what I mean? And they're not like considered clients and we do great business. And we have those conversations now on a more friendly level. And it gets a little more creative that way versus kind of, you know, being super professional the whole way around, you know, but yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the end of the day, we still have to solve their problems because that's how they're going to give us their money, you know, and the more problems that we can solve for them, the longer that they're going to hire us and keep us around because we are, you know, facilitating those business needs. But yeah, if we can have a good relationship with our client, even better, but definitely think about ways that you can talk to them about what needs you need to solve for them. Try and schedule ways that they can invest in your success in the sense of, maybe you give them discounts for videos, but that video is going to lean towards your portfolio and what you want to build, right? And find mutually beneficial ways where they can start to invest in you, your company, and your growth. And, you know, they're paying for some of that while you build a portfolio that you really love that you can use and leverage to get even bigger brands and companies.
100%. Yeah, I enjoyed it. For sure. Yeah, dude. So, It's been crazy, you know what I mean? But I think we're getting closer to finding that style that we're looking for, you know? Like I said, that car dealership that we shot for, the campaign is called We Are Texoma, and we, you know, packaged it up and I think I turned in like think 34 pieces of content through you guys' platform, you know? And I got zero kickbacks on any of the, no edits or anything back, you know what I mean? And so it's allowing us to get, you know, now we're going to move into like the Dallas dealership. So these were like the Texoma ones in the small area where I live at. And so they kind of gave us a chance to move forward. And this guy has like 32 dealerships, you know? And like you said, it'll be, if I can hone that in, I can be, you know, focusing in on a niche of some sort and, you know, pushing towards like the bigger brands that I'm looking to get into. And
every day is a different thing. Like, there might even be opportunity to increase the products that you offer in terms of taking photos for new cars that arrive, or just taking like a 15-second TikTok or Instagram reel of like, you know, you and a gimbal going around that photo and just highlighting it, or that video, that camera, that car, and just highlighting it. Like, feed their socials, get in part of like their daily like media plan, like, you know, and then you can work up towards those big, you know, commercials too. But find ways that you can help them with their daily media, you know, to get some kind of retainer going for your company so you can get more sustainable revenue too.
100%. Yeah, that's what we did. We did 3 30-second ads and the rest were, you know, reels and micro content and boomerangs and stuff like that. And we went out and did like light painting as well. And then like added logo too. And they were just like, what is this? You know what I mean? Or whatever. So it's that was the whole idea. I want to make them, you know, be like the model staple of like what a car dealership should be like nowadays, you know what I mean? Or whatever. So I think that that's going to be moving forward. So I'll keep you guys updated as it goes. So
cool. If you try and like, not put together a case study, but try and record some befores, right? And then afters of like, hey, before they came in, this is what the content looked like. Here's what their following looked like, their exposure, their views, etc. After we delivered and put together this media package for them, here was the followers, here's the views that all, everything that we generated, like show some befores and afters so you could take that to other dealerships and be like, look what we did for this dealership. Like, right? Month of filming and we generated 30,000 extra views for them. You know, and that may be translated to more sales if you could get those numbers, probably not. But you know what I mean, right? Like, find a way to package this up so you can leverage it.
Yeah, and that's something that we missed out on for a long time, is we weren't doing any, you know, case studies on our own clients or anything like that. So we just were just kind of working all the time, but had nothing to show for it. And then, you know, it's just like, you know,
testimonials. You know? You know, if not case studies, for sure. Just even getting testimonials will do a lot for your business as well. I'm curious to talk a little bit, Tyler, just like about like your team. You know, like what does that actually look like? Like how many people are you typically working with? Who's kind of doing what? Where are you at? Like, and I'm just curious, like how are you guys doing as a team? You know, is everyone on the same page? Are we all kind of heading towards the same niche? If not, like, how are you navigating that? Just kind of interested to hear how that plays into, you know, where you guys stand currently and where you're trying to go.
No, yeah, great question. There's five of us. I believe it's like me, Jabari, director, Stack Moses, he's a director. Zach, he's kind of like a sound guy, but he's amazing in like set design and building things. And he's just like, just on camera, he's just kind of everywhere. And then we got Bo, project manager, producer. We all met like mutually through my mentor and other people that we worked with in the past. And it's just kind of like, it started off with just me and Bo, and then everyone just kind of just naturally kind of fit themselves into the group or whatnot. We kind of work for each other's day rates, you know what I mean? And just kind of build projects together. And then if we have to, we'll take a hit, you know, and be like, hey, let's just do this, you know, to get this through, because there's potential in the end or whatever. But we all see pretty much eye to eye, you know, we all like love the same thing. Two of us were born on the same day, and you know, like, so we're like the same people. We've all known each other for a while, so we're like kind of like best friends, you know what I mean? So, and brothers, so
nice.
And that kind of gets a little crazy sometimes when we're trying to do business, you know what I mean? People can get a little like snappy on sets or whatever, you know what I mean? Just because we're friends, you know what I mean? And then we forget like the clients right here or whatever. But, I mean, we're doing really good, man. It's kind of weird how we got together. Like I said, it started off with just me and Bo. And then, we kind of just started shooting at these locations in Dallas. And the guy that owned those is like a director that I looked up to a lot. He saw us working and called and said he wanted in, you know, and because everyone's looking for a team. So we kind of just like help each other out on different projects or whatnot. But the collective is kind of the monster, the head of the monster, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. But, awesome, man.
But yeah, no, a lot of times we'll develop the projects up to a certain point or do an edit up to a certain point, kick it to the team, let everybody's put their word in and start working on it together and end up with the final product on that. So we try to keep each other involved as much as possible. And, we do a lot of Zoom stuff right now still because of COVID, and plus, like, you know, some of us live 30, 45 minutes away from each other or whatever, but, but yeah, no, we're all best friends.
You mentioned that you've been delivering through Jump Studios and you've been using Jump Studios for a little bit. Yep. Give us like just an honest lowdown, right? Like the good, the bad. What are you thinking so far, man?
I haven't gone through it long enough to give you any bad. I'm just really happy to have something like that. I've been using, like Dropbox to send my clients things. And then I always get like the weirdest like feedback on how do I use this? It's not working. Do I need to pay to open this thing up? You know, and then like for Dropbox files or whatever. So using y'all's platform and having it like laid out all out there for the presentations that you guys have, and then being able to have my clients see all these things in one place and scroll through them and watch them and review them. And then, you know, even off from the download option, is just super, super rad. You know, I'm really excited about the whole platform or software or whatever you call it. And I'm interested in using more of it. So I know you guys are dropping, contracts on there. Have you already done that?
Contracts are there. Invoices are not yet though. We still got to do invoices.
No, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be, it's just going to make everything so much easier for us, you know? So I still do fresh books for my invoices and being able to have all that in one place. And then just, it's just going to be a nice thing. You know what I mean? So I'm really happy with it, honestly. You know what I mean? So the customization and adding your own background to the presentations, you know, you guys are doing a really, really great job, and I highly recommend it. And everyone on the team is really excited about it too. And we wanted something that kind of organized us a little bit more, you know, and kept track with our clients and how they were viewing it. You know, you get that email so-and-so just viewed your presentation,
which I love. Like I was using it the other day and I sent it to a client and like they never viewed it, and like a week later they viewed it and I got that email and I'm like, boom, let's go. You know, and it's just like those little things are just like that little insight. It's just so good to know.
Yeah, it is awesome for sure. I sent those car commercials over and I knew they seen it, but I just wanted to hear back from them. So I kept bothering them about it. I was like, yo, did you get this? I'm using a new platform and just making sure it's working. And I'm like, of course it's working. But they finally, you know, I was just anxious to hear back from them, you know, because it was a, kind of a cool part. Yeah. So
you sent them everything through a presentation link. Did you use the review links at all?
Did use the review links, but they didn't utilize them. Like I said, they had no edits back for me or anything like that. So that rarely ever happens.
Maybe watched it.
Yeah. But and also when I got on there, I was just really excited and I just jumped straight to like, you know, the presentation link. And I was like, man, all these other things aren't here you can utilize and start like the process, you know? So I moved like my projects to like pre-production and then moved them over to finish. And it feels really good to like click finished on there and then, you know, send it out for finals. So
nice.
Have you customized that at all? Like, have you kind of designed your own little roadmap, client roadmap a bit?
No,
not client roadmap, like a production pipeline, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I have not. I've changed my icons for my projects.
That's cool. Kai was saying, like, you know, we load you with a pipeline, which is like pre-production, production, post. You can add your own there and move it around too, should you want to do stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, yeah, yeah. I'm going to definitely get into that for sure. And then now I know what you're talking about, and I did see that. So it's a big square right there. And no, yeah, it's very cool.
Cool.
It seems like something that has been around forever, and I just like just discovered it randomly, but no, it's not.
It hasn't really. I mean, it's been less than less than a year. It's, you know, just like we're just like you. We're shooting, we're delivering, and you know, Frame.io is a great company for video review, but we wanted more than video review. We wanted project management. We wanted to be able to communicate with our clients. We wanted contracts and invoicing all in one place with automations to really streamline the whole thing, right? Because there's so much we have to do to run a business, and we don't want to be doing that. We want to be making movies and telling stories, right? And so we're like, if we could build a platform that can help automate, streamline, and just make this all more professional, then we can focus more on the storytelling and less on actually the business side of invoicing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
No, yeah, for sure. Let's go to movies real quick, just a second. You guys, what do you think about shooting? Y'all ever use simplyscripts.com?
I haven't, no.
No.
So it's like this website, simplyscripts.com, and it's a bunch of unproduced films or scripts or whatnot. You can go short films and you can pick your genres and et cetera. I stumbled across a film on there called Mr. Repent, and I was got rights to it a couple of years ago and then never shot it. And then, you know, we shot this feature film and we're like, holy, you know, we can do this. And so I reached back out to the gentleman and gave me rights to it. But I was just saying, like, how are you guys looking at, like, short films? What do you think about getting into the circuit, the you know, the short film circuit, and kind of, is that a good way to, like, you think, start breaking into that industry in a sense? You know what I mean?
Well, it depends again, like, what are your, it gets back to what are your goals and what are you trying to do? We actually, we've got the past couple, say two or three podcasts, we had some good guests where we talk on this, if you haven't checked them out yet. But, you know, I think it's a good way to break into the industry. Yes. And there's the possibility, like, obviously releasing a short film and putting it in the circuit and festivals can help you. But again, it's just like really trying to understand, like, what is your end goal? Like, if you're hoping that putting that one short film out there in the festivals breaks you into the industry, and now you've got a foot in, you know, creating narratives, features, and stuff like that, as well as doing commercial work, you know, I don't really think it's going to pan out that way. You could get lucky, but most likely not. But, you know, if you're trying to head in that direction, right, like, you want to do a lot more narrative-based work, you want to start doing features, documentary films, stuff like that, then, you know, shooting short films is beneficial. But again, there's kind of different perspectives. Like, we had a great episode with Josiah Moore, Josiah X on Instagram, who kind of got me rethinking my perspective, you know, on short films. He talks about, you know, he really aims for like less than a minute. He aims for like 30 second short films. And with that, he's able to get a lot more turnover and a lot more content to really showcase his style as a cinematographer, as a director, as a, you know, a video effects artist, etc. And so that's something I've kind of been prioritizing this year as well, rather than making two or three, you know, 4 or 5 minute short films and investing all my time and energy in those, trying to, you know, crunch those down to a 1 minute, 2 minute or less. You know, it's much more likely that I can get 10 or 15 short films made, which, you know, over time is going to be much more beneficial for me, I believe, in helping me, you know, kind of break my feet into the industry, if you will, rather than just making a singular short film.
No, yeah, for sure. I'm not like planning on making a singular. More than anything, just trying to get into, like, so as a music artist, I was always at all of the concerts. I was trying to meet all the promoters. I was trying to do all these things to get on shows. You know, there's like gatekeepers in all these industries. You know, so I was thinking of taking more of that approach with my film career. You know, going to these festivals, going to these meetups, going to these, you know, film swaps, and it's just like meeting more people.
Absolutely.
Having a film kind of puts me in an excuse to be there. And the reason I was talking about the script,
you don't even need one, because, honestly, you can go to these events without having a film. You absolutely should too, but I mean again, having a film can help, but don't need to by any means.
I would like to have a film for, you know, the aspect of talking and learning and seeing, you know, getting other directors' inputs and stuff like that. My ultimate goal is to be, you know, a director of whatever, but I'm trying to attain a new mentor named Chusey, and he has won Sundance Festival, and he has done TED Talk and all this stuff, and he's put me on this diet where I'm not allowed to try to shoot or direct any narrative stuff this year, but I'm still going to try to make the short film, because I think it's great to have a script that's already written, where it allows me to focus on my art and the style of shooting and, like, you know, the camera angles and all that kind of stuff. And we're going to try to do two cameras on this and whatnot. But that whole world still seems like so, like,
Let me hop in here quick. So you gotta focus on you, like, where you want to go, right? And your niche, and like, take those steps to get there, right? I walked over, I pulled up this. So in college, I made a $40,000 short film, 10 minute short film, right? And it won me this college television from the award from the Academy Foundation, right?
So
I'm a member of the Academy. It means nothing. It's never gotten me jobs. It's never gotten me shit, right? Except for a membership to the Academy Foundation. That's it, right? And so, like, I got to a really high level with a short film, you know, but it never opened any doors for me. And so I say that because what you build needs to be a next step into your career and building your portfolio and what you're trying to do, right? Rather than any kind of accomplishments, a short film, even if it wins, you know, a festival, how is that going to help you in your next step in your career and your company, right? Like, it all needs to fit together and make sense.
100%.
Right?
No, he told me that. He goes, you can't be a great commercial director and a film director. You have to choose one or the other and make that path, you know? And so he's got me like writing. I have to like watch a film, my favorite film, and write the script as I'm watching it, you know, so I can learn what it feels like to write like a god and all these different things, you know. And I'm on the Criterion Channel only. I'm not allowed to watch Hulu or Netflix and stuff like that. but like, but I have to, you know, make money. And I'm in love with the agency thing too. I really enjoy working with brands and creating those small ads, you know what I mean? Whatever. The 30 seconds are just a lot of fun to work with, and they're challenging. And, you know, 30 seconds seems like a lot of time, but you guys know it's like, it's no time. You know what I mean? So, that's kind of where I'm at too, is like, dude, it's so hard, you know, because film is like, so like feature films or like movies or just like wanting to be a rock star, you know what I mean? It's like so hard. you know what I mean? It's like, that's like the ultimate, that's like all of our ultimate goal. You know what I mean? Is to be something like that. I feel like a lot of people, you know what I mean? The more I get into film, I'm like, there are people that really just want to be sound people and really just want to be DPs. And it blows my mind. Like, that people, I just love that. You know what I mean? So, and I love working with people that are like that as well. But yeah, no, I mean, it's hard because you want to sit down and write a script, but your bills are coming up. You want to go shoot this film and put your money into it. And then, you know, it's a big chance.
Right.
It's a big chance.
And so, it's one of those things that you need to be able to do like sustainably too. Like it, because we need to do a lot of it, right? Like we got to be taking a lot of swings and making a lot of shit. And so we can't just pump everything into the next film and hope that breaks, because it's probably not. You need to do it over and over and over in developing your style. And hopefully each one can help you take a next step forward.
Sure.
But it's all kind of building something, and you need to know where it's building to and how you're going to leverage that once you get there. Do you have any connections? How can you start to work on making those connections now? So while you're building, you already have cards in play. All that kind of stuff needs to go hand in hand with what you're building now and what you're looking to build in the future.
For sure. Because I don't want the agency to be known for making films. I want that to be something completely different, you know?
Right, there you right. Go. I'm curious to kind of use this as a transition point a little bit to talk about Learn Videography. You know, talk about the future of the podcast. If we're going to get specific here with terminology, you know, we've covered pretty much the full spectrum, we feel like, with regards to videography and video production. Like, what are your thoughts, Tyler, on like, what if we made one more specifically relevant to filmmaking or cinematography, you know, specifically focusing on, you know, maybe that narrative style of work and kind of what does that look like of carving out that path to be a feature film director? Like, what do you really love about Learn Videography? What do you want to see with the future with that? Or, you know, an adaptation, a Phoenix rebirth of the Learn Videography podcast, if you will.
What's up, guys? We're back at it with another sponsor, which is ShareGrid, the largest camera sharing community on planet Earth, where you can rent or buy cinema gear. Now, ShareGrid.com is perfect if you're trying to test out a camera before you buy it, or if you want to upgrade to a cinema camera for your next shoot to shoot that crispy 6K footage, 8K, 12K, find it all on ShareGrid.com. Or if you're looking to make some extra money, you can go to ShareGrid to rent your gear out or even to sell your gear on ShareGrid.com. It's a professional way of renting and buying gear. Super safe and secure. They have insurance behind all of their transactions. So if you want to join the camera sharing community today, go to ShareGrid.com. You won't regret it. Now let's get back into the episode.
No, I mean, I love everything about what you guys do. You know, film is one of those things, you know, it seems so mysterious and everyone has their own path. You know what I mean? So it's interesting hearing everyone's own, their own journey. So it's like, it's kind of hard to be like, you know, let's take it this direction, guys. You know what I mean? But I think the filmmaking thing would be cool. Cause you know, thinking about making film, narrative films as a profession is way tougher than doing brand work per se. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Brands are searching for people like us to do great work for them or whatever. Narrative films are, you know, a little bit tougher. So like, I think it'd be cool to like learn a little bit about like, how do those things get funded more, you know, a deeper dive on like, how do you get that trailer that you shot? Cause we do a lot of trailer work and to make a website for it, you know what I mean? And try to raise awareness for things like that, you know what I mean? But it's also just kind of like for us to show off our style. But like I said, that world's kind of like foreign to me. And I know it's not to a lot of people, but I'm like North Texas, you know? And so, I mean, there's not a lot of that kind of production going on around here, you know? And so just learning like to even set yourselves up to like meet other people like that, or how do you apply to become a DP on a set like that? Or is there places you can go and, you know, be a production assistant on certain films, you know what I mean? Or, you know, I don't know, like, I don't know. Cause you know, I think I heard you guys talking about people doing production assistant stuff like that, and they're not actually learning anything. You know, they end up becoming like executive producers in the end versus creatives, you know? So it's just, it's tough. And then I feel like you have to move. Like I have to like move my whole family somewhere to like, to be a part of that kind of stuff. So like my goal is to try to, I don't know, just, but yeah, those things are all crazy to me. So.
I mean, and those are all like real concerns, right?
Yeah.
Those are all like things that exist in the film industry. And,
like what do directors get paid on big budgets like that? You know what I mean? Like, how do they go about securing those things? Is it really, are they still pitching five directors and that person's, you know, having to battle five other directors to get this spot, you know what I mean? Or this narrative story of this movie, or are they sought after because of their,
and how they even get there, you know, and who they had to know to get there. I think there's a lot of potential there. And what about like a route of like taking videos or movies or commercials or specs that were really well done, and bringing those creators on and talking about like how they were able to film it all, and like kind of break it down what they made happen, talk through like how they filmed it, how they distributed it, what kind of success they're seeing from it, and trying to reverse engineer their success so you can pass it on to yourself.
I think that'd be super rad. You know, the gentleman you had on the other day with the Star Wars stuff was like insane. Yeah. And, you know,
he's insane. But
that was like in his garage, you know? And so when you see something like that, you're thinking there's no way I can create that. But whenever you see someone create that in their garage and learning how to do VFX like that, it gives you inspiration to be like, I can create anything. And that's the weird thing about the industry now is you go to Best Buy and you can throw down, you know what I mean? And then you can have like everything you need to become a videographer. But like, you know, not everybody can tell a story. And that's kind of what separates us from boys from the men, I feel like. But I know. I think the behind the scenes thing, you know, letting people know that there are things that you can accomplish on a small budget that look big, you know, and kind of letting those people talk about their breakdowns and their struggles on how they created their films and what they did to get around these certain things that they were limited by with money, you know, regulations or whatever, you know what I mean, are kind of cool. Because a lot of times whenever we're young creatives coming up, especially like I said, out here in the middle of nowhere, I'll look at a project and be like, this is impossible. You know what I mean? There's no way I can get that done. And, you know, that's entirely untrue. The gentleman just like me over there that, you know, put it together, and just seeing someone and hearing their story is, you know, inspiring too. So.
Yeah. What do you think about the length of the pods? You know, we usually go 40, 50, 60 minutes. Would more that are shorter, or like, is there any kind of thing like, do you end up like only having time for 25 minutes and then you tune out?
No, I think they're perfect, man. I think they're perfect. I'm sure everyone else is a lot more interested in me, so I listen to the whole thing.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, this is our third season of Learn Videography. You know, it's just like, how can we keep delivering value? And, you know, and we're just trying to figure that out now and where we're going to go and how we can make that happen.
No, for sure. Another thing that would be lined up with you guys, you do a lot of like business stuff, you know, that guy, Jordan Brady, I was telling you about, directing, commercial directing masterclass guy. I think he'd be like a great person for you guys to bring on and throw down with. He's hilarious. He's funny. And he's got a lot of insight and, you know, I don't know if you guys can maybe work something out with him or whatever, but I don't know him personally. I've just, you know, talked to him on Instagram. I'm going to try to go to his classes one day.
We got to take a quick second to acknowledge that I went to Wikipedia today for videography. And guess who's on the front page? Your boy Kyle right there is the first result on Wikipedia's videography description. Let's go. It's a picture of him holding a camera. So learn videography with the guy from Wikipedia. What's up? Yo.
What a dude. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, we're proud of you, Kyle. Tyler, any like last things before we wrap up here? We talked about your career journey, finding your niche, how we could start to kind of narrow into certain industry genres so you can start to systematize more things. We talked about Jump Studios, what you're finding that you're liking there. Learn videography, what we might be able to do for our next season, how we could deliver value. Any last thing before longtime listener Tyler, you depart the pod that you'd like to say or to ask questions or that we can help you with?
No, I think we got it all, man. I just want to say thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate all of y'all podcasts and what you guys are doing for the creatives. And just I just love everything. So appreciate you guys.
Man, we appreciate that. We do it for y'all. Yeah, we do it for you guys, you know, and sometimes it's hard because we don't have a two-way communication with you where we can't hear what you guys are thinking or saying, and it's hard. And so by you reaching out to us on Instagram or you emailing us or you getting involved at Jump Studios, we're able to connect more and hear what we're doing good, what we can do bad, what we're doing, what we can do and improve, just to be more of a positive thing and influence for the industry. So we appreciate you coming on today, Tyler. You guys can find Tyler. What handle are you on Instagram right now?
X_Tyler Sloan.
Boom. Find him there. You can follow the podcast at Learn Videography, myself at JJ Engler, Kyle at Cal Visuals. We'll be back next week with another episode. If you haven't checked out Jump Studios, jumpstudios.io. Then, Tyler, have you left us a review on Apple Podcasts yet? We're going to put you on the spot.
Dude, I did. It was like underneath like TS Music. Y'all shouted it out like a couple things ago.
Boom.
So I was like,
let's go.
There we go,
be
man.
Be like Tyler.
There we go. Good job. Thank you, bro. Well, guys, great chopping it up with you today. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you next week on Learn Videography.
Love y'all. Peace.